Right, let's get into principles of the author-creator economy. So these are my principles, which are 1. Ownership and control of intellectual property. 2. Flow and speed of money. 3. Ownership and control of customer data. And 4. Power and permission, the empowered author mindset. So first of all, ownership and control of intellectual property. So just to go through some basics, what is intellectual property? So this is a quote from the UK government, but intellectual property is generally considered the same thing across the world. Intellectual property is something that you create using your mind. For example, a story, an invention, an artistic work or a symbol. Copyright, patents, designs and trademarks are all forms of intellectual property. And of course, as authors, we get copyright on our written work. You automatically get copyright protection when you create original literary, dramatic, musical, and artistic work, including illustration and photography, original non-literary written work such as software, web content and databases, sound and music recordings, film and television recordings, broadcasts, the layout of published editions of written, dramatical, and musical works. So yeah, you create intellectual property when you write your book. So what about assets? So this is a definition from Investopedia. An asset is a resource with economic value that is owned and controlled with the expectation of providing future benefit. So the foundation of the creator economy is understanding that yes, we write books, but we actually create intellectual property assets. We license copyright, which can be split in lots of different ways through the contracts that we sign, either when we actually physically sign a contract or when we agree to terms and conditions on websites like Amazon KDP and all of that. So I would suggest if you don't understand copyright, you do need to educate yourself because it underpins your confidence really in what we do as creators. I recommend the Copyright Handbook and also the Copyright Bill of Rights from the Alliance of Independent Authors. But also I wanted to really cover this as a financial principle because this can help you in so many ways. And I started learning this over a decade ago now, and it really transformed my financial situation. So thinking about assets is assets produce income. That is part of the definition of an asset. So if we create assets and or we buy assets, we are going to be able to make income. So I've split this out here. I've got the creative business box on one side. So you have to invest in building assets or buying assets. So an investment for us in a book might be editing, it might be cover design. So that investment in creating an asset, so now we have our asset, we sell the book, or we license the book, we get income. And that income pays for living costs, but what it should also do is pay for investment in more assets. And obviously these differ in across the world. I have a SIP, which is like a personal superannuation pension plan, and also ISAs, IRAs, other investment accounts. You might have property, you might have other things. But the point is, all of these assets produce income, and that income pays for our living costs and then further investment into more assets, which create more income. So it's this incredibly awesome situation where if we get it right, we can look to produce income for the lifestyle we want. And I love this quote from Felix Dennis in How to Get Rich, which is a great book. And Felix was a poet, an author and a publisher. And his company created The Week and Maxim, which are sort of well known here in the UK. And he died a multi-millionaire creative. And in that book, he has lots of his books are really no nonsense. I recommend them. But he says, control and ownership bring with it the promise of future wealth. And this is the thing, we have to listen to people who, if we're interested in being wealthy, which I am, then we need to listen to people who have sort of forged ahead of us. If you want to upskill in the whole money situation, then I have a list of money books at thecreativepen.com/moneybooks. Some of these, like Unshakable by Tony Robbins, is great. The Rich Dad Poor Dad series is brilliant if you really are at the beginning, and some others there on my list. The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel is more recent, and that's certainly excellent. So lots on the list indeed. So once you understand that idea of an intellectual property asset. The question is, are you making the most of it? And we're going to go into this in more detail in the sort of business design video, but really be thinking about, okay, so when I've got my intellectual property asset, which is this one thing, now I need to turn it into multiple things. So of course, there are different formats: ebook, paperback, audiobook, large print, hardback, special editions, bundles, box sets, courses, events, webinars, audio specials. There are so many ways to turn your intellectual property assets into that income. So the question to think about is, how many intellectual property assets do you own and control? Because of course, maybe you've written 50 books, but they're all under contract with a publisher who hasn't paid you anything for years. So you have to think, okay, how many do I own and how many do I control? How many can I make more income from? And what rights have you licensed for each? What kind of contracts do you have? Where have you put your books? So it's really just an inventory of where you are right now with how many IP assets and what are you doing with them. So now let's talk about money and customer data. And again, I feel like for so long we've just accepted what we're given. And this is a chance for us to question what we're given. So first of all, thinking about those intellectual property assets we just talked about, how much of the pie do you get for each of those? So how much money from every sale for each book, each publishing choice? So it might be, okay, I have this particular novel and I get this percentage from this publisher, or I have this book and I've uploaded it and I get this percentage for everyone sold. And it's really thinking about, okay, what is that? Because I almost feel like we forget all of these numbers over time because we get so caught up in chasing the next thing. So that's the first question, how much? The second thing is, how long does it take to get to you? How long does the money take? And are you in control of that money? So being in control of the money is interesting because if you're traditionally published, you sign a contract and then getting the money, you might get a percentage of the money on signing, but most of that money is going to come at the time the publisher decides, for example, on acceptance of the manuscript, on publication, which for some authors is moved out or sometimes even cancelled. So thinking about when do you get the money and do you control when you get the money? Another example is with the publishing platforms, even, you know, usually take 60 days after the end of the month of sale. So you're like, okay, well, that's fine. But then you think about control. I've had many emails now from people who have had their accounts cancelled, and once their account is cancelled, they can't get the royalties that were earned because they're considered to have done something bad. And some people appeal and get their account back and other people do not. So what you have to think is, do I control when I get the money? Is that something I've signed in a contract? And is there a way to at least give myself an option for getting money faster? So I think this is something to think about. Again, you can do as many of these things as you like, which I do. I'm not, again, not suggesting you ditch everything for something new. I'm saying, look at, just be aware of what's happening and make specific choices towards giving yourself more money, faster money. So then, customer data, what is it and why do we want it? And again, we just accept what we're given, which is we put our books on the various stores and we don't know who bought that book. We don't get the emails of the people who bought that book. We don't know where they live. We don't know what else they bought. We don't know whether they're on our email list. And essentially, we don't own that data. And if you think about it, yeah, okay, you might have an email list at the moment, but it is probably completely decoupled from understanding who bought what in your ecosystem. And some people do surveys and tag people and that, but essentially, unless it's connected to the actual buy data, we don't know. And yeah, so think about who owns the data and who owns the relationship with the person who is actually paying. So I'm going to go through some examples. So this is traditional publishing. You've got the author on one side, the reader, the consumer on the other side, and between the author and the reader is essentially a complete brick wall. There's agents, publishers, distributors, bookstores, traditional media. The author does not know anything about the reader. And in looking at these different aspects, in traditional publishing, you license your rights. You don't control anything really, and most authors, traditionally published authors, don't really understand intellectual property licensing. They're just like, I wrote a book, I want to sell the book. That's what people say, I'm going to sell this book. So I think that understanding IP side and essentially giving up, some people sign contracts for, you know, all rights for the life of copyright without really understanding what they're signing. Not everyone, but the model certainly doesn't encourage control. Then the flow and the speed of money, as we mentioned, maybe an upfront advance and then payments based on their schedule. Maybe that's, as we said, on contract signing, on publication, and then royalties. Again, you don't control that money. Ownership and control of customer data, you don't have any of that. Many traditionally published authors don't have an email list, and often the publisher doesn't know either. The platforms often have that data. Or in a physical bookstore, nobody knows, right? I mean, most of the time, unless there's a loyalty card, there's no real tracking. And then the power and permission of the author, the agent and the publisher have all the power. This model is very much a we go to them and we do what they want us to do. We jump through hoops. And it very much, your power and your permission is limited by contractual terms and how you're treated. So a lot of it's out of your control. And again, I'm not saying don't do this. I'm just saying understand what this means. Then we talk about most indie authors. So again, the author and the reader and consumer. And this time in the middle are all the stores. Amazon, Audible, Apple, Kobo, Ingram, Drafter Digital, Findaway. All the stores sit in the middle. And again, many indie authors, or most indie authors, don't really understand intellectual property. They limit themselves with exclusivity. They don't create much of it. The truth is, indie author world is similar to the traditionally published author world. Most indie authors that email me every day, and you guys don't really fit into this category because you're already pretty empowered to be doing this course. But yeah, it's incredible to me how many indie authors just think that by self-publishing, they're going to change things, but that's not the truth. So then the flow and the speed of money, as I mentioned, 60 to 90 days, depending on the platform. Then, of course, minus the platform costs, minus ads. So the platform costs, so some people say, oh, well, I get 70%. You do, but that means they take 30%. And then if you then have to pay another 50% of that towards ads, that's what you have to think. How much of that are you getting and how fast is it? Ownership and control of data. You don't know who people are unless you have some kind of email list, but again, you don't control the sales information. And power and permission. Well, you have permission to publish whatever you like, but you don't really have the power. The platforms can remove access at any time. So my thought really is this even independent? How many independent authors are actually independent? It's a good question. So then a small percentage of indie authors are starting to do direct sales, where the bulk of their income is still through the online stores. And again, it might be a combination of traditional publishing and indie publishing and then some direct sales. And this gives you more of a droit, gives you a direct link to the reader, to the consumer. And if we go into the details, ownership and control of intellectual property, yes, a small percentage of indie authors, many of you, understand intellectual property and use it effectively and do selective licensing. Some hybrid deals, if you have lots of books, you can do different things with different books. The flow and the speed of money, yes, we still have the 60 to 90 days, platform costs, ads, but we've also added in an immediate payment direct sales platform, which we'll obviously talk about in more detail. Then the ownership and control of customer data. You have an email list so you can reach readers. You also have this direct sales platform, which gives you more detailed customer data. And then the power and permission. You have permission, again, to do whatever you like, and you finally have more power. The platforms can remove access to your accounts at any time, or traditional publishers can cancel your contract, but you are protected because you have these other streams of income. You can go direct to consumer. And then the creative economy, I feel, is almost flipping it on its head, which is the primary focus is on direct sales, direct to reader, direct to consumer, with all the rest of it, all the other stores, traditional publishing, as an extra. And again, this is what I'm aiming for. I'm probably more like the last one at the moment, but what I'm aiming for is where I control the bulk of my income and then I have all these extra things going on later. And indeed, I sign traditional publishing deals, mostly foreign rights licensing, but I do actually have a book that I'm considering pitching because, you know, just as another form of income, another thing to do. And the more books you have, the more choice you have. And with this creator economy model, you are understanding intellectual property, you control it, you use it effectively, and you do selective licensing. The primary focus is on the speed of money, and I get payments every single day from my direct sales model, plus the 60 to 90 days for the platforms, plus you're going to get anything else that comes through from, say, a traditional publishing deal. So you're getting money potentially every day, every month, and several times a year, depending on what types of contracts you've signed. In terms of ownership and control of data, these direct sales platforms give you the customer data, and then so you can do things with that, and a smaller percentage is locked up in platforms. Then with power and permission, you have permission and now you have the majority of the power. The platforms can remove access anytime, but it's not your main income. And this is, as I said, this is kind of where I would like to get to. But it's not an overnight thing. It is a long-term shift. But how can we move at least some of our author business toward this model? How can we have other forms of income that come faster and data that's more in our control? So all of this really comes down to your mindset, the empowered author mindset. It's about saying, I create and license valuable intellectual property assets. And it's about the acknowledging that it's your creator economy. There are so many opportunities of what you could do. This is a chance to redesign your business around the life you choose, but only if you take control. Because the creator economy recenters you, the creator. Stop pandering to the algorithms. Stop centering everything around some other platform. Stop waiting for someone to choose you. Stop asking permission. Do your own research. You are empowered to do your own research. All the information is out there now. Look at your choices and then make decisions that suit you about your intellectual property and your business. It is incredible to me how many emails I get every day where the attitude behind the email is just one of disempowerment. And I want to change that. I mean, I've been trying to change that for many, many years, and I have bad days too. I mean, I have all the doubts and fears that we all have, but we just have to grab these opportunities and move it forward because no one else cares as much about our books and our intellectual property as we do. So I want you to reflect on each of the four principles. What is your situation right now for each one? And you could even break it down per book, depending on the size of your business. So one, ownership and control of intellectual property. Two, flow and speed of money. Three, ownership and control of customer data. And four, power and permission, your empowered author mindset. So what is your situation right now for each of these, and where would you like it to be in 10 years time? And I think that's how I'm looking at this is, okay, what do I start putting into practice now so that it will grow like a snowball over the next 10 years? Because none of this is an overnight change. Even our mindset is not an overnight change. I read things from me 10 years ago and think, wow, I've really moved on. So I want you to think that too. So reflect on where you are now and think about where you could possibly head, which direction you want to head into and where you would like to be.